We're going to continue our studies here in Samuel. Our last study was quite short, and trying to get the timing thing down, so you'll bear with me as I go through things. I really thought it was going to go longer. It did when I was looking at and studying for it. So, there are two types of people in the world. Those who believe who Christ is and what he has done and what he is doing now according to Scripture, and those who don't and won't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw this in John chapter 10 last week where we read, I told you, speaking to some unbelieving Jews, our Lord speaking, and he said, I told you, and ye believe not the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. Those who even saw the miracles, witnessed it on the streets where Christ walked, saw the blind man receiving his sight, the lame man getting up and walking, saw all the miracles, saw Lazarus being raised from the dead. Those who saw these miracles and yet they did not believe because they were not of his sheep. Distinguishing grace, how sweet the sound. For he who distinguishes between goats and sheep spoke graciously to me. No, those unbelieving Jews relied on their own works of iniquity. They trusted in what they had done. Their strength was in their customs, their lineage, their rituals. And the idea that God ruled over their will, well, that God chose whom he would be merciful to, made them mad enough to take up stones and stone him. And such were every one of us before our Lord spoke to us, before he spoke to our hearts through the preaching of his gospel. He pricked our hearts, our very souls, with the truths of what we are, our need of a Savior, and his love for his people, his sheep. I cannot help but remember that hole. We spoke of this in Friday night's Bible study. I cannot help but remember that hole that he had pulled me out of as I read these words in 1 Samuel 2, verse 3. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Yes, sir. Talk no more, John, of your pride in what you think of yourself. Let not your arrogancy be spoken of, for you are a sinner, condemned, unclean. All that you have done outside of his grace is but dung. He is the God of all knowledge, and he knows the hearts of men, and when he weighs their actions, he finds them short of the mark.
That's exactly right.
You see, the mark is perfection. In verse 2 we read, he is holy, so holy that he cannot even look upon sin. So holy, he can't even be in the presence of sin. There is none beside him. There is none perfect as he is, righteous as he is. Yet this one who could not even look upon sin loved a people with an everlasting love. He loved them before the world was. And because of that love, he became flesh. God humbled himself and became a man, perfect in all that he did, righteously going about his Father's will, even the death of the cross. God's blood was shed. The Son of the living God shed his own blood that the Father would look upon the sacrifice as a full payment for all the sins of his people. Amen. We who were given to the Son before the foundation of the world will hear his voice in the day of his power. My sheep will hear my voice, he says. And I say again, his name is Jesus, for he shall save his people. And there is no rock as solid as the Son of God. In verse 4 we read, the bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. Remembering that hole that my Lord dug me out of, my strong bow was my goodness. I thought I was a pretty good guy. No, I was a little rough around the edges, yeah. Maybe to a point. But I hadn't killed anybody. Not that I know of. I'm not as bad as that guy over there. Remember the Pharisee? And the poor man over in the corner? I'm not as... Thank you, Lord, for not making me like him over there. That's what I was. I did not believe that sin was all that bad. No, I didn't know. I didn't truly know what sin was. As far as I was concerned, I didn't need to be saved. I had no idea of the depth of my sin. I stumbled at the idea that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How dare you say that about my grandmother? God says that.
Yes, sir.
About my mom. All have sinned. I stumbled at the idea that there are none righteous, no, not one. I stumbled at the idea that there was a God at all. Everything that I had heard was, you must do this, or you must do that, stop doing this, and start following this. But God. Then God showed me through the preaching of His Word, dead men can't do anything. Through the preaching of His gospel, the good news, I heard about life. Life in my Savior. Life that comes from the Creator. Eternal life. Life forever. In John 10 we read, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life.
Yes, sir.
This is what I heard. But first I had to hear how dead I was. To understand what life is. And life is in Christ Jesus and Him alone. I don't remember exactly when, but I had read the 23rd Psalm. I was aware of it. I at least read it 2 or 3 times. But then one day it just jumped out at me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's everything. That's everything outside of Christ.
Yes, sir.
This world is cursed.
Yeah.
God cursed the ground that He walked on when Adam sinned. Everything of this earth will burn up.
Yes.
In the end. And the Lord says, and I give unto them, speaking of His sheep, eternal life, and they shall never perish. Oh, what joy that brings to a heart of a sinner.
Amen.
Knowing that I deserve the wrath of God, yet I will live for His sake. For Christ's sake. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We who have been given new ears and new eyes and a new heart to hear the word of the Lord, to hear the truth. We've always been His sheep, we just didn't know it. And because He is God, we are girded in His strength. There's no strength in Hannah. She knows who she's talking about. She's talking about the Lord, her Savior. That's where our strength is.
Amen.
That's why we need to turn to Him at every turn. We turn to Him and give praise and thanks when we're blessed with the good things of this world. And we turn to Him and pray for help when we can't get through the things that trouble us. When the stormy waters are too high for us to see over. There is no other rock as our God. All power in heaven and earth are in heaven and in earth and under the earth belong to Him. All that the Father giveth Him shall come to Him, it says. Could there be anything more secure than that? If God says it, shall it not be done? If it couldn't be, then He would not be called God. In verse 5 we read, they that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath sworn seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. Now there's a lot of different there's a lot of difference between the commentators that I've looked into on that. I like Robert Hawker's best. So allow me the privilege to quote him for this from this verse. Some have thought that Hannah is here triumphing over Peninnah, who before insulted her. Remember, Peninnah would razz her because you haven't had any children. She razzed her so bad that it took her to the point of tears, where she went to the Lord and cried. Robert Hawker goes on to write, but I conceive that Hannah's mind was soaring to a higher subject. It is the triumph of the church of Jesus over all her adversaries that she had in view. Was not the Lord the one who she was praising to in verse 1? And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. It wasn't in the gift of getting her out of that situation, as we brought out in last week's study, it was to the giver. Going on with the quote, and here is a large scope for the illustration of these precious truths. The vows of the carnal in their own strength are broken. The full in their own righteousness are sent empty away. While on the contrary, the Lord satisfieth the hungry and the good with good things, and the poor barren souls are satisfied with the bread of life, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. End of quote. Continuing on, verse 6 through 8, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar out of the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. These next three verses once again point us to His sovereign rule over every detail. Remember in chapter 1, we took that as a whole that we might see the picture of God raising up one of His ministers and how He did it. He didn't just give us, well, Samuel was born here. No, He gave us a lineage. A lineage. I'm not saying it right, am I? Did I say that right? Okay. He showed us His lineage. He showed us the trouble that His mother went through. Our Lord works out everything according to His purpose. Pharaoh was raised for the purpose of showing God's strength to the world. Our brother Mike Lovelace wrote a poem that he shares with us occasionally on testimony evening, music and testimony nights. In our last one, I may not recall the exact title of it, but it has to do with the sons of Esau. They were to serve the younger, as God said in His word. All who walk this earth are here to serve our Lord as He fits, as he sees fit to use us.
Amen.
As I said a moment ago, was not Pharaoh raised up for this very purpose, to serve God's purpose? At the end of those verses, we see, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. Everything we see and don't see are held up by him. They are his to do with as he wishes. In John 1:3, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In Romans 9:21, we read, hath not the potter power over the clay, the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor and the other unto dishonor? Oh, what grace to be raised up out of the dust. Oh, what grace to be lifted up from our dunghill, the pit that our Lord brought us out of. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, we sing. Notice it says in that verse, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. In Ephesians 1, you don't need to turn there, but we read, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of time, of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ Jesus, both which are in heaven and which are in the earth. I thought I missed something, but there it is on page 2. Even in him, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance.
Yes, sir.
Inheritance with Christ.
Hallelujah.
Can it get any better than that?
No.
You realize that there's some pretty cool things here on earth. Kathy and I were riding, and I think I've shared this with you before, we've rode up into Canada one time on our motorcycles. This is before the Lord called her out of darkness. And if you've never seen it, I don't know that I can describe it in words. It's kind of like, it's not as good as, but it's kind of like, you know, you try to describe how wonderful it is to see your child born. And no matter how well you describe it, you just don't understand until you've actually seen your child born. And you hold them in your hands. Well, the ice fields of Canada are just magnificent. But they don't compare at all to an inheritance with God and his Son, the Lord Jesus. We have no idea of the depth of that going to take us. And I look forward to and anticipate great joy in seeing all that he has in store for us in that. In whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory.
Amen.
His glory.
Amen.
Who first trusted in Christ. We were predestinated to inherit all things. It is his purpose. Well, who can turn his hand? In verse 9 we read, he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The strength of man is no match for he who is God.
That's right.
If you go through that door marked death thinking that your will is above God's, then you will be silenced in hell for eternity. That's what we need to tell our loved ones. If you go through that door marked death without Christ, you will be silenced. It is God who keeps the feet of His saints on the path to eternal life. In the 17th chapter of John, verse 2, we read, "As thou hast given Him," speaking of Christ, speaking of Himself, "power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given Him." In the 10th chapter, He says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one." In the 6th chapter, in verse 37, it says, "All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me, and him that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out." It is God who keeps the feet of His saints on the path to eternal life. What we do is a result of His love to us. In verse 10 it reads, "The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces, and out of heaven shall He thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. But those who belong to His Son, those who were chosen in Him, those who are called by the power of His Spirit, they were judged already. We were judged in our substitute." In Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Well, who is this Christ Jesus? Look at the last part of verse 10. And it says, "And He shall give strength unto His King." That's Christ. "And exalt the horn of His anointed." That's Christ. Christ is the exalted one. God the Father has made His Son Lord of all. He, our Lord Jesus, has sat down on the throne of all glory with all power under His feet. His name is above every name, and every knee shall bow to Him. In the 5th chapter of John, it says that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. "He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him." When we look to Christ, we look to the Father, for all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him, in Christ Jesus bodily. All worship is to be done to Him. All glory is His. He is the anointed one, the exalted one above all things. Amen. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." Can there be anything left? That kind of covers everything, doesn't it?
It does.
All things were created by Him and for Him.
Amen.
And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. It is our Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who keeps our feet on the path to eternal life.
Amen.
Pastor Gene and I were talking, and I'll try to make this quick. Pastor Gene and I were talking a little bit this morning, and he shared with me how it wasn't that he didn't know, but and I agree. I'm the same. I was kind of the same way. It wasn't that we didn't know that God would keep His church. We read that throughout all Scripture, but to really learn it and really understand, no one can pluck us from His hand.
Amen.
God's church. God's people. Nothing. Nothing can stop but His church. Nothing's more powerful than God.
Amen.
He will keep us. Even when we think we're stumbling and falling. Let us put all our trust in Him.
Amen.
Who is our rock. Let us turn to the one who gave Himself for us. Let us look to the one who shed His own blood for our sins. Yea, let us raise up our Savior as the serpent was raised up in the wilderness for Israel. Looking to Jesus, praising His name for all eternity to come. Amen, Pastor.
Amen.